I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about my choice for this week, which is called Expelled from Paradise.
It really should be called something close to schizophrenia and a dissociative disorder. Go ahead, ask me why.
Why?
Because my biggest problem with this, I realize I'm spouting off beforehand, but my biggest problem with this is how, if you're able to create a body like they do and throw a personality into the body, when your personality is ticked to is really just ones and zeros, why don't you have an army of like your most loyal servant?
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. That.
I mean, technically they used to be people. So the personality stays there, but yeah. We'll get into that. This is a movie that came out in November 2014. Producer for it was Toei Animation, Kinoshita, Komuten for the other producer, and the studio of Graphinica. It's actually an original work of art, so there is no underlying or past material or anything like that, and it ran for about an hour and 40 minutes, and the genres are action, sci-fi, and mecha.
I liked it. I, for some reason, thought it was slice of life as well. I thought so. Like, it didn't invoke the tears, but it had potential.
I'll go ahead. I'll let you have that because I'm going to say this really wasn't a slice of life for me. This didn't even have the potential for a slice of life for me.
It's what I want slice of lives to be. It's what I want in the best case scenario.
Look, this coming from a guy who says frequently that he hates slices of life. So you do you, man. That all being said, I actually am actually really pleased that it is an original work of art. So they didn't do too bad for it being an original work of art. However, they did ask a lot of questions or left me with a lot of questions and didn't give me any resolution to said questions.
I can see that. I mean, hell, my first question was why didn't they make that army? My next biggest question is probably going to be something along the lines of the three gods. Let's just call them what I think they are, gods, because you have the three main administrators of what I assume is a server.
Yeah.
Were they human at one point in time, or were they all just AI?
No, they're all human. They're
dickish humans.
Oh, yeah. No, they're all human. And they do state that they basically left the Earth to go up into space to get away from everything because the Earth was basically dying. Mm-hmm. And it starts off with the quote unquote bad guy, or who you're supposing to be the main bad guy, is Frontier Setter, who's basically hacking into this virtual world and telling everyone, hey, you guys aren't using your full potential. You should actually travel out into the Milky Way to find other suitable worlds for the rest of the human race to expand beyond. And the consensus amongst everyone is they're already in paradise and they don't need to do anything to better the rest of humanity because that's where they already are, is where they need to be.
Yeah, they're in a super advanced VR. And the people who are left on the planet Earth, they're considered survivors, for lack of a better naming system, I guess. And now, did you watch it subbed or dubbed?
I watched it subbed.
I watched it dubbed with the subtitles on, as I typically try to do. Interesting. is the best way I can describe it, because the words you read and the words you hear, most of the time they're similar, but not a lot. Not a lot of the time. Yeah. The dubs sound good. The dubs sounded good. I didn't watch the sub, so I can't tell, but the voice actors chosen match as far as what you would expect these people to look like.
Yeah.
Now, I do have a question. Do you think it's possible that the people in Paradise, the VR world, are they immortal?
Technically speaking, yeah. I mean, that's kind of the feeling I got from it. I mean, like, technically, you can't die because you're digital.
Yeah, and you're supposed to. The only limit is your mind, which is insane.
Well, technically, it's the amount of memory that you have, which is in terms of in relative hardware. Yeah, is in relative terms. So you basically either continue to push yourself forward and everything like that, and you gain more memory, and I'm using air quotes for memory, or you don't, and you get put into cold storage because you're just not trying to better yourself.
Useless.
Yeah.
Well, see, what they have there is a totalitarian system. A totalitarianary.
Totalitarian.
That's it right there. I English very well sometimes.
Me too.
They have a totalitarian system where you either are part of the machine or you're not. And if you're not, the machine has no use for you. You move forward, or the resources you are using will be allocated elsewhere for better efficiency.
Right. And the group of people that we're actually talking about that are living in this digital world, they're called D.Va or D.Vas.
Yeah.
Nice play on word there.
Oh. Want to talk about a play on word? What about Ballsack? What about our main character, Ballsack?
I got nothing to say against the guy.
It's the 16-year-old girl named Ballsack.
I got nothing against her. Balzac is whatever she wants her last name to be.
No.
I understand what you're trying to say. It's B-A-L-Z-A-C. Angela Balzac.
Pronounced Angela Ballsack.
Well, if you're listening to it in English, yeah. But if you're listening to it in how it's supposed to be, no.
I couldn't. I was looking at that. I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. And then I'm reading it. I'm like, Balzac. Okay. And then I said it out loud. I'm like, is there any way I can say it to where it doesn't sound like Ballsack? Balzac. 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 It's like one of those Mad Lib things. The faster you say it, the clearer what they're trying to say is. And you're like, okay.
Right.
Okay.
But
now Angela Ballsack goes from 32 to 16. Not mentally, but physically, because she tried to rush the process of printing. 3D printing a body, basically.
Right. Just to help you understand, Balzac is actually a very famous French name, too. Just to throw that out there.
Oh, trying to kink shame me. I got you.
Hey, look, you don't dig French novelists. That's up to you.
trying to make me feel bad.
You should feel bad.
It's a shame that it's actually working.
You should feel bad.
Oh, man. I am not cultured at all. And I was okay with that till this conversation.
I mean, like, if you want, I could pull up some information on everything and we can go.
No.
Are you sure? Yeah. Are you sure? All
right. No. I'm good. Okay. I was blissfully ignorant of of ball sacks and whatnot. But now you've opened my eyes. Unfortunately,
it's what I usually do.
Oh, God. No. OK, so explain this little thing to me. They are obviously having kids. And I say that because it's mentioned that the child is alive for 1300 hours before digitally uploaded.
I mean,
where are they getting the material from to create life?
I think they're genetically creating it when a person is created, and then they're uploading that information into there. So, I mean, like when you have two digital people getting it on, they're creating from that genetic codes, they're abstracting or you know, taking out what they want to have, and then they're putting it in, and they're creating this live human being, and then, you know, whatever else. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. I mean, like, if you're in there and you're digital anyways, I don't see why you would have to even bother going through that then. Like,
or, yeah.
I mean, you could just like, hey, I want to create another one. Let me program it in real quick. Yay!
Well, and that's my point. Let's say you create the perfect soldier. You can duplicate them because you have the raw material to do so. You've got the ones and zeros to manufacture that. I mean, the only argument against that might be it's just too complicated and too complex to create a mind from scratch, where it's easier to figuratively, air quote, create a baby to make them born and have them grow up and accumulate more memory and
right,
grow appropriately, you know?
I mean, I do know that they do have a couple of books that came out, some light novels that came out after the movie. There's a prequel, basically, which I'm assuming would hopefully explain a lot of the questions that we have. And then they also, I guess there's a sequel to it, too. So you
there's
have
a sequel,
not a movie, but a book. So it's like takes place after the film. So
yeah, I can tell you what happens after the film.
I mean,
so our guy who's doing this thing finds other things and comes back and creates war.
Sure.
That's the most vague way I can describe without giving anything away we're about to talk about.
I mean, well, he doesn't create war. He doesn't come back and create war. He doesn't. I mean, like, Frontier Setter doesn't even come back. I mean, like, they just show him leaving and that's it. And then singing at the end of the credits, at the very end of the credits.
That made me sad. You know what that reminded me of? Like, full stop. That reminded me of the Mars rover, because the Mars rover sings happy birthday to itself. Mm-hmm. It is a robot on a desert planet, which its only inhabitants would be other robots singing to itself. If that is not depressing... Because if you were to project feeling onto the machine that's singing happy birthday to itself, you're like, oh, poor baby. You're alone. You're lonely. Oh,
yep.
I don't want to fall down that hole. That's a bad hole. I just imagined myself on my birthday on my apartment floor, like rocking back and forth in a corner, singing happy birthday to myself because my phone died. And of course, I don't have a charger in the house, and it's cold because of course it is. And I have one blanket that's literally threadbare, wrapping myself in it, trying to conserve energy and seeing the sunrise.
Right.
And going, it's my birthday.
So
no one cares. And that's where I went with it.
To get us back on track here, since you're deciding to go on a little depressing route of talking about how lonely you are.
How lonely I imagine that little guy could be.
You know what? Hey, he made his choice. He's gonna do whatever he wants. So one of the things that I actually have a problem with. I mean, like, the beginning is cool. I'm not a fan of the animation.
You just like the titties.
I do.
You just like the titties.
No, I am not a fan of the animation, like, at all. Like it.
Yeah, it is. It's hard. It's very hard to get through.
And what's really interesting is, did you notice, I mean, like, I don't know, it could have been just me projecting, but when she made it to Earth, did it look like she got pooped out?
No.
That's what it looked like to me when her ship or pod or whatever lands. It looked like she literally got pooped out of her pod. So
that's not what I saw. Although I can see it now. I can see it now. When I saw it, I thought something more closer to popping a cyst.
Yeah, no, for me, it was, she got pooped out. Angela got pooped out.
Yeah.
And what I don't get is, she's not dumb. She's in her 30s, right? She's not dumb. She may have taken on the body of a 16-year-old, but even at the age of 16, you're not just going to land on Earth and go, huh, let me scoop up some dirt and then taste it.
Well, see, no. That makes sense on why she did that. This is probably her first time not virtual.
So she decided to eat dirt?
To experience what it actually tastes like, to try to figure out what this body was doing, that to see potentially how sensitive everything in this body was.
I doubt that, because she was pretty gung-ho about not needing sleep ever.
Because she was virtual. She never thought she needed sleep. Obviously, she needed sleep. She didn't realize she needed to eat. So she, other than that flavorless drink thing, you know,
yeah, it's gave her the nutrients and everything like that. They don't have the simple worry about the simple pleasures the rest of us plebeians have to deal with, which is tasty food and getting sleep and resting. Not dying.
I was going to say
dealing with illness.
Well, I was going to say there's a difference between sleep and rest. But yeah, no, it would make sense if you've never experienced this before, because when she was pooped out, unfortunately, I can't see it any other way. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
When she was pooped out, I can only imagine there was no sustenance in her body. It was a freshly made body that was 100% clean, almost as a baby would be clean.
Sure.
You know,
to be honest here, she also doesn't have a normal skeleton. It's what, like a hybrid exomechanical skeleton or something like that, or whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So it's not even she's really human.
As close as you're going to get. I thought it was a legit human that they made, because like when they were talking about it, it was going to take a certain amount of time to age this body to an appropriate, I guess, age range, so that when she gets transferred into it, it'll be a nice and smooth transition. When she goes, no, I need it now, the body's only of the age around 16. And when she transfers in, she has to train with it to try to get what's going on with the body, trying to understand and get a feel for it, you know?
Well, it's not that she was trying to train with it to get a feel for what it would be like to be 16 years old again. She was trying to get used to being in a human body in general.
Oh, okay. I mean, I guess
that's why she said when she got into it and was jumping, she's like, everything's a lot heavier than I was expecting.
Yes. On Earth.
Well, she wasn't even on Earth when she was saying it. She was in a training environment to simulate everything.
Oh yeah. You're right. So do you think they transferred into the body then she used that simulation to get acclimated to the body, to having a real body, not a virtual one?
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, I noticed, as you just noticed, she would consume stuff that had no taste, but was all of the nutrients you needed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying she had to go poop somewhere, but if the body was only half done, where would you excrete stuff?
It's not that the body was half done. The body was not grown all the way.
I mean, we do start as assholes first, so that makes sense. You know, biologically speaking. I mean,
speak for yourself.
Every human alive, when in the womb, starts with the butt. Starts with the anus first. I learned that in biology.
So, jokes aside, her body, her whole body wasn't that it wasn't complete. Mm-hmm. Remember Star Wars, how they were saying they used an accelerated process to be able to grow a human in a fraction of the time. Same thing, correct. Same idea, everything like that for them. It's not that they said, hey, we're going to make this person. And then they started putting them together piece by piece. And then it's like, oh, let's cut it short. All right. Well, she don't have a butt anymore.
That's true. No, I can see that. I was incorrect in saying they 3D printed the body. What you just said is probably a lot closer to what they actually ended up having to do. But once she was in that body, and then she was sent to Earth and pooped out the machine, everything happened after that, I didn't mind. Like, she had to fight these worm things. And I thought that was a really good shonen-esque example of seeing how everything's done. And it generated an impression that her partner was extremely streetwise, whereas she was book smart, had the muscle, had the machinery. He understood the area and what they actually wanted to do. You know what I mean?
A little bit.
So basically, he brought worms to her.
I don't get the like shonen wise. Like, what do you mean by?
Oh, she had to do a full mecha battle with those worm things.
Well, okay. You do remember what shonen means, right?
I always thought shonen simply just meant really awesome fighting.
No, and we talked about this once before. Shonen.
Didn't allocate enough memory to this. Apparently,
apparently not. Shonen is a manga or animation style that's particularly targeted towards men who are between the ages of like 12 to 18.
Oh, this attracted me to it.
Well, you're not 18. That's for sure.
You ageist.
And just to throw that out there, I mean, like, this is a very good example of an action
show. All right, fine. It was decent for an action show, I guess. But yeah, that's where my head went with it, rather than saying, tell me what it is. Show me what you can do.
All right.
And I thought that was kind of cool. It took her all of like 18 minutes to kill everything there once she figured out what to do.
Right. I mean, I could see that. It did have some fighting aspects with it, but it really, to me, I mean, it was kind of like a pointless, elongated scene. I mean, like, they could have probably compressed it down a little bit, but I get why they did it.
Yeah, I was going to say, they definitely could have made it shorter, but it showed his expertise on the issue and him turning a real nice profit. And I kind of at the same time showing how harsh it is living on Earth, you know?
Yeah.
If you have to like survive by eating mutated sandworms, mm-hmm. and nobody has an issue with it. In fact, they're really happy to. And instead of driving around in nice Mercedes, you're driving around in a dump truck. And apparently you're king of the hill with this because your dump truck can hold more meat than the minivan down the road.
Yeah. But I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah. And then the whole premise after that, the searching sequence, I thought was genius. They used a language that wasn't recognized. They made fertilizer look like cocaine.
Yeah.
I'm like, are they going to sniff it? I'm pretty sure they can smell what it's like from pretty far away if it's regular fertilizer.
Well, no. I mean, like, if it's honestly how that is normal fertilizer. It looked like normal fertilizer to me, especially unless you're talking about manure, in which case, if it's manure fertilizer, yes.
Well, I imagined it was manure fertilizer because that's what they were saying. It was like the old school
fertilizer. Right. Well, I mean, like, you also have to take into account that this is a dystopian future where the world is basically nothing but trash. So ruins Mad everywhere, Max. Just dirt and just nothing, no green.
But for some reason, even in this dystopian future, motherboards are worth bank. Well, explain that.
Because of technology, duh, makes the world go round. Like, I can't do anything with fertilizer, but I can use this motherboard to be able to create this robot to go out there and help me destroy all these giant centipedes so that way I can eat.
Yeah. Or composting.
Or composting.
Compost piling.
Yeah. Both work. Both work. Hey, so, you know, just throwing that out there. But
so what did you think about the big bad guy? The main, what you would assume is to be the bad person of this whole search.
The Frontier Setter?
Yeah, what'd you think?
I thought it was great, and I think it was beautifully done. It's basically a robot that gained AI sentience after like
a stupid amount of numbers.
A stupid amount of
years.
Yeah, and then basically for 100 years has been secretly building this spaceship called Genesis Arc, and he's just gonna go off and find other planets that would be suitable for human inhabitants.
And the reason that Frontier decided to hack D.Va is to find volunteers who wanted to go with him, you know, Star Trek style, to the great beyond, to see sights never seen before. And
that's it. Like, yeah, that's all he wanted to do. And D.Va, the entire race of people that are now just ones and zeros, basically didn't like that. And none of them took him up on his offer when he did finally leave. Spoiler. And it really goes to show, it's like the people who you felt were the big bad in the beginning, or who were trying to be set up as the big bad in the very beginning, actually weren't. It was actually the people that are trying to stop him from doing this. It was for him, it was just like, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't know that was a bad thing. I'd be happy to go through proper channels.
And they're like, yeah, no problem, die.
Yeah. And that's basically how those three gods or whatever they are, the three leaders are. They're like, yeah, no, you didn't complete your mission. You need to actually kill him. Like, wait, what?
Yeah, that's what they tell Angela. She finds everything out. And she's like, this guy's not unreasonable. He's got plenty of this extra memory. Because remember, we talked about the people who did not contribute. They were essentially shut down so that their memory could be used somewhere else. Put more to the point, they were put in prison, right?
Yep.
And she was also put in prison. She goes from this awesome memory conglomerate, if you will, to like 2-bit prison. And what really, really worried me beyond a shadow of a doubt, the thing that scared me the most was the fact that she remained conscious when they did that. They threw her in prison and she did not lose consciousness. So imagine if your only crime is being lazy, and they're like, all right, cool, you get thrown in jail because you're lazy. You remain conscious. You remain sentient. Mm-hmm. And you could be there for eternity. That, my friend, is hell.
Yeah. And I mean, like, obviously, we just only know that she was thrown into prison. We don't know how the others are actually stored. We're just told that they're stored in cold storage.
Now, here's also one thing that irks me. It's not a loophole. It's not a plot hole, plot device. But what annoys me is, you know, like we were saying, theoretically, they're ones and zeros, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Why can't she? I mean, obviously, in a system this vast and this immense, obviously, there's a backup somewhere, right?
Sure.
Why couldn't they just reset her to before the mission?
Plot armor. Sorry. Plot data.
Plot data. I like it. I like it. I don't like the fact that they didn't really answer this. I mean, it leads you to believe that even though they're data, they are individuals.
Yes.
So that was nice, but I don't think.
I mean, technically what they are is their AI like Frontier Setter.
Yeah, except Frontier Setter he evolved by himself.
Yeah.
Which was insane to begin with. Like, how awesome. But yeah, he's been alone for 100 years. And the AI got so advanced on its own that when he does finally meet a human, like a bona fide human, the human's like, dude, I can't even tell that you are different, that you're not human. I'm talking to you. You're responding to me. We're having decent conversations. You seem to have a mind of your own. You seem extremely human for an AI. And the AI's response was like, dude, thanks. That's awesome. This is how I always imagined.
Yeah. And it's more so because the AI had said, you know, he's like, I'm going out there. I'm trying to expand the rest of humanity so that we have a better future and everything like that. And the response was, you are basically human, because humanity is a very vague word. So like music, you do everything, you talk, you have you have emotions, you're out there trying to better yourself and everyone else. You're not a very violent individual. You're not violent at all. I'd say that makes you human. And I'd honestly agree with them as well. Like, how Frontier Setter was a human.
For most part, he shared the human values. He shared just decency is what one thing I would say. And curiosity more than anything else.
Yeah.
Curiosity and a drive. He had a dream to go search beyond the stars, essentially. I'm just... Well, the way they built everything up, the grand finale, you've got our main Angela fighting, what was it, 40 other people just like Angela?
Yeah, except she had the new bells and whistles mech. And
oh, yeah. Yeah, so Frontier busts into jail and says, I'm taking you with me, basically, and breaks her out of jail. Somehow she gets all of her memory back, not her memories, but like the memory that was allocated for her. She gets all that power back and then some, because they go to the low orbit satellite, something or other, where all the machinery is being held, and she takes it over somehow.
Well, it's not that all her memory was being allocated back to her for that. Her status wasn't reinstated, so she didn't have that. She just had her normal memory, basically what you and I would have for our brain. That's it. That's all that was left for her. And I'm assuming that when they went into that one area, Frontier Setter helped her hack into the area and take it. Take the mech.
True. Fair. But that leads me to think, how much memory does Frontier have access to? If he's able to take on something like that.
Well, he was also controlling a ton of other different robots and mechs there too at the same time. Not just himself. So I would assume.
Yeah.
And since he basically had an entire city to himself, I'm going to assume that he had more than enough to do whatever the hell he wanted.
You might be right. I mean, yeah. But you also have to consider, not only was he handling all the robots in the vicinity on the ground, mm-hmm. as well as underground subways, he was handling the robots, basically building the Gen X.
Look, sir, I don't have to consider that. Do you know why I don't have to consider it?
No. No. I reject the thing you're about to say, because it does not fall in line.
All right. Plot data helps prevent all those problems from coming into real life.
That's not true.
That is 100% true.
I need my anti-plot shield here.
That you're doesn't assaulting exist. Me with look, my plot data will overtake your plot protection shield.
Turn your sword into water.
Exactly. So,
man,
I mean, like, honestly, it was a great movie until the end, where they left a lot of things open. They didn't explain a lot. They left much to be desired.
The ending was not what I wanted, flat out.
Yeah.
Like, I figured that they were going to make an Adam and Eve. That was my thought. You had a 16-year-old chick who, for lack of a better way to put it, is physically perfect. And a guy who, for lack of a better term, he's very able-bodied as well, you know? So I figured it was going to be like a Adam and Eve situation where Frontier takes both of them, and they will essentially be the new people to take care of him, to be on his journey with him.
I saw that wasn't going to happen, at least not with them in their physical bodies.
No,
simply because it's like, in terms of length of time and distance that they would have to cover for them to be able to reach a viable planet, it's just too ridiculous, too long.
Yeah, but you're also having to think of real, like, what's happening here. Like, we couldn't do it because our bodies wouldn't handle it. But in the anime, when they've got this plot data, plot armor, plot life, essentially, you don't know how fast that machine can go, that intergalactic space station, for lack of a better word. And
true, but they don't even have light speed or anything like that to be able to go to a new planet. You don't know that? Like, you literally, if they're sitting there on their little space stations hanging out there, there is no reason for them to be able to try and advance beyond that.
Correct. Correct. But you forget, Frontier's been doing this for over 100 years on plans that were outdated.
True, but even with those outdated plans, the plans still wouldn't have that type of technology built into it.
I mean, we can go back and forth on this all day. I don't think you have sufficient evidence to say otherwise, because neither do I. Because if you think about it,
that's a great way of saying I have no way of being able to back up my claims. But okay, let's try this.
Let's give it a shot. You've got the technology to take you and me and turn us into zeros and ones perfectly. You've got the technology to age as you would in Star Wars, a body considerably. Think on this. Just like Star Wars, they've got light speed. They've got hyper speed. It's possible.
They haven't even done anything remotely close to suggest that they have that.
Did you notice what that engine was looking like with that laser? And it was like takeoff, like pew. Gone. You don't know if that laser was opening a wormhole or not.
All that did was he just slowly moved away, and then they showed him slowly moving along. That was it. That's all you don't know.
Slow comparatively to whom? It could be like
the asteroids that were sitting there doing nothing.
Slow. Speed is relative. Like if you think about it, you and I could be on a bus with an airplane, and I can throw my airplane to you. The bus is going 70 miles an hour. You're not going to think, wow, that plane's really booking. You're going to be like, oh, two guys on this with relative space going at the same speed as the carrier. So I'm saying maybe it created this gravity well around it so that it's taking everything with it as it's going stupid fast.
Sure.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, sure. 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 You know, we'll take that plot and we'll add it to the rest of the plot data that we have going on. And we'll just let you go ahead and believe that.
Jeez. I mean, it was a nice idea. So my thought on that was Frontier was like, look, we abandoned any living quarters for people, essentially. But I like you. We can reconstitute what's going on here, and we can create another portion of this ship to sustain human life. And I'd like to, if you're willing. And the guy, our guy who's, I don't know if we call him a tour guide, a partner. He's a great triple A.
The Observer?
Maybe.
You're talking about Zarek, right?
Yeah. I mean, he would have been a perfect candidate, but he's like, nah, man, I'm afraid of heights. If we could do it on the ground, I'd appreciate that. And you're like, well, there goes that idea. I thought they introduced him being afraid of heights, one, being lazy, but two, something that he's going to have to overcome later. You know?
No, apparently not. He didn't have to overcome it. He's like, yeah, no, good, cool story, but not for me.
Not this go around.
Yeah.
So to wrap things up very similarly to how they wrapped everything up in the movie, it's all going to get jumbled. She, Angela, fights everybody else. Zarek also somehow fights everybody else. And they have a nice long conversation with everybody fighting around them, even though they're the targets. And Frontier takes off and somehow is able to clear interstellar space, even though it was already proven that you've got like space age fighters that you could throw hundreds of thousands of them on a whim at things. But somehow this slow moving engine escaping Earth's gravity is able to no problem fly away.
Well, I mean, again, you know, speed is relative. It's actually not moving slow, escaping Earth's gravity.
Oh, you.
Let's.
If I can't use that, you can't use that, sir.
The difference is mine's actual facts. Yours aren't.
Uh-huh. You could literally copy and paste what I said there to what you're saying here. And we might even, if it was a password to a cell phone.
The difference is, sir, mine has factual backing. Yours does not.
Yours has, you're right. You're right. Yours has anime backing, right? Mine also has anime backing.
No, mine has factual backing. Yours has anime Rick logic backing.
You know what? It works. I'm going to make a t-shirt with a tree that's upside down that says Rick logic.
Hey,
the tree you know of what? Logic that Rick goes off of.
Hey, you know what? We'll actually make a shirt like that. Let's do it. Let's make a shirt like that. We'll actually post it for sale too. Brick logic with an upside down tree.
It's going to be like an oak or something. Like that. No, in my luck, it'll be a palm tree.
Look, you know that Charlie Brown Christmas tree? It's going to be in the heck.
Oh, jeez. Upside
down.
Point A to point B. You'll figure it out later. Oh, man.
So, look for that shirt coming here soon.
Yeah. And other spur of the moment ideas. Jeez. So what do you, I think because this was your choice, you get the honor of rating it first.
No. Because I still have one more thing I want to bring up. I found it really great. No.
Okay. Well, what's up?
After the credits, like halfway in between the credits, right? Mm-hmm. I like that they brought back the original three main bosses for the dev world. And it really solidified that they were the true bads, because their official stance was even the elite members of security can be tempted by the values of old humanity and fall. So we need to be more stringent in our control.
Yeah, less freedom, more pleasure.
Yeah. So it just really, really solidifies that in that world, it is a totalitarian and they don't want you to be able to think for yourself. They want to control everything.
Mm. Makes you wonder what they get out of it, though, you know?
Yeah. And that's the one thing that I constantly have a problem with is what's the ultimate goal for them? Like, what are they getting out of this? Are they getting data, information? Like, what are they getting out of controlling this and being as stringent as they are to prevent other people from anything, any kind of free thought, I would assume.
Well, I was going to say, if you're going for the idea of potentially advancing the human race this way, because you're all three gods, you can literally fast forward someone's entire life. Mm-hmm. All the decisions they're going to make. Your limit literally is only the memory you put on it. So you could have the human race in this particular fashion advance millennia in the course of 2.5 hours. As so long as you act as a benevolent god and you don't interfere and there's no real issue, when everything goes back to being your normal pace, you just show back up and go, oh, what's up? What changed? I'm not ready yet. Go fast forward another millennia.
Okay. I can see
that. You know what I
mean? Yeah, I see that.
But again, that would say that you had a certain goal in mind, whereas here they didn't really have an objective
that we know of. That we know of. So, on a scale of up to 10, sir, how would you rate this?
Your choice, man. You go first.
No, sir, because I don't base my rating on what you rate.
Oh, that's a lie.
No,
that's a lie.
That is not a lie. If you want to hear the truth, you can listen to Sin.
Oh, God, that hurt. Why did that hurt so much?
So, and in keeping time and with tradition, sir, and long-standing traditions, yeah. 2 years with you rate first.
Yeah. Okay. So, can't say no to tradition. The animation quality was really hard to get past. However, I would say about minute 17, I started to ignore it and paid attention to the story more. Music, we didn't talk about. Music played a large part in the plot. Not necessarily the movie, but the plot itself.
True.
It wasn't bad. It was kind of catchy. I liked it a little bit. Story being an original gives it a little higher marks. I'm going to give it an 8. My reason for an 8 is all of the above. Plus, I didn't feel like it was left too open-ended. It was meant to be depressing, in my opinion.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. I'm actually going to go with a 7. I'm going with a 7 because the animation wasn't great. While the ending wasn't something that I particularly cared for, it just kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. It was an ending. Like, quite literally, it was an ending. Now, if they wanted to come back and do some more, like they did obviously in the the books and a light novel, they have the room to do that. But the story, the main story for what they were doing, which was basically Frontier Setter actually taking off, trying to expand the humanity basically to other planets and find other suitable worlds. It was a closure. So I got to give it that. And even though I didn't really like it.
Okay, that works.
Next week, we're actually going to be talking about Bakke Monogatari. So, and that one actually is a recommendation to us by Rat Baby in our Discord server.
Yeah. I have no idea how to pronounce it. I don't know what it's about. Do you care to enlighten me at all?
I haven't seen it either, so I really couldn't tell you. But I do know that when they were giving that recommendation, that there's actually quite a large number of other Monogatari's out there that are varying in stories, I guess you could say. So I'm just going with this one just because. Well, that's all the time that we have for today. If you enjoyed this week's choice, or if you feel like we didn't do it justice, or if we did too much justice, let us know. You can reach out to us at featuredanimepodcast@gmail.com, at Those Anime Guys on Twitter. You can reach out to us at Featured Anime Podcast on Facebook, or you join us in the Discord. Be happy to have you on there. Talk to us about anything and everything that you are watching, listening to, whatever else. Be happy to have you join in the conversation there. Or if you're listening to this on YouTube, go ahead and leave a comment down there. I'd be happy to respond to you on there. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you happen to listen to us and leave a rating. It really does help us out. Until next time, I'm Jack.
And I promise you and I are literally the only two people that can't be digitized. And I'm Rick. And we'll see you next time.
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.